so far. I got a little, couple little props up here, so we'll see here in just a minute how everything's going to roll. If you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 9. Start with verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither? But for that intent that he might bring them bound, but Saul increased the more in strength. And confounded the Jews which dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. And after many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down the wall in a basket. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, for the many blessings you've bestowed upon each one of us today, Lord, for giving us another opportunity to preach your word. God, I ask for your help, Lord, as your willing vessel, Lord, in the preaching of your word. And if there is anyone here who doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I ask, Lord, that you send your convicting power down so that they'll know that they need a Savior. If anyone is here that's grown cold, Lord, I ask that their spirit lets them know and that they will rekindle it with the fire that what's burned in their heart for you, Lord. God, I have a special prayer for our church family, for our community, Lord, and for our own personal family today, Lord. And with everything, we ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. If I were to title my sermon today, it would be, Who's in your basket? Who is in your basket? If you read chapter 9 right in the beginning, this is the conversion chapter of the Apostle Paul. That's when Saul went to Damascus and something happened to Saul. Brother Mark, you know what I'm talking about. Something happened to Saul while he was on this road. He met a man by the name of Jesus there on this road to Damascus. His life was changed. It was changed by the meeting of Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking today, that's exactly what changed my life. It wasn't a good group of people. It wasn't even a good church. It wasn't a good mommy and daddy. It wasn't a good education. It was the fact that while I was on that road, and listen, church, I was on that road. While I was on that road to eternal damnation, I met a man by the name of Jesus. Amen. And Jesus moved in, and he moved into my life. I don't know if you guys remember that, but I remember when he moved into my life. And brothers and sisters, he transformed my life, and he changed my life. And I'm not the same anymore. I'm not the same person that I used to be. And thank God I've been changed. Amen. I hope each and every one of you guys have been changed also. And let me just throw this out there. If I would have went to an altar, and I would have said that I was changed, but there was no transformation in my life, and if I would have, I might have begun to wonder if anything really happened, if there wasn't a change, if there wasn't a transformation. But church, let me tell you, on that road to damnation, Jesus, did you hear me? That word that I'm talking about today, Jesus came into my life and Jesus changed my life. Jesus transformed my life. How about you today? How about you? Do you remember that road, Brother Mark? Do you remember when you were on that road? That road, Brother Don, that broad road that we were all on one time. Do you remember that road to destruction? Do you remember meeting Jesus on that wonderful day when you come in? Glad to see you, Bella. I'm glad you came in, baby. Do you remember how and when your life was instantly changed from darkness into light? Can you remember that? I do. And all of a sudden, things were different in your life. And then I read on where Saul, after he met Jesus on this road to Damascus, he began to preach that he, Jesus is the Son of God. And, you know, there was a lot of them in those days that were scared. They was like, we're scared of this guy, Saul. I think he's maybe part of the CIA or something. You know, he's coming in here. He's going to get undercover on us and find out everybody's name. But today, I was thinking that, and I know it is in my message, but it's pretty good anyway. I think it's pretty good. And I was thinking that when Saul met Jesus, his vocabulary changed. Can we get an amen? Hey, listen, I encourage amens, and I'll pause. I'm not like Doug. Doug keeps going. He always says, well, I don't get any amens. I said, you don't pause to give anybody a chance. But I'll pause so you can amen. Amen. There we go. He was no longer threatening and cursing, but he began to preach that Jesus is the very Christ. And my mind went back several years. It's been several years, about 26 or 27 years. And my mind went back to then when I had those threatenings and cursings coming out of my mouth. But I'll tell you what changed my life, Brother Mark. I'll tell you, when I met Jesus, my life was changed and my vocabulary changed. Amen. Amen. Listen to me, church. If you say that you're saved, and I'm going to preach here in just a minute. If you say that you're saved and your vocabulary hasn't changed, listen to what I suggest that you do before this service is over. I suggest that you bring your long, gossiping, dirty, potty mouth tongue up to this altar, praise God, and stretch it across from one side to the other and get your tongue saved. Amen. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. I know we can't save our tongues, but listen, if he comes down deep in your heart, he's going to transform you into something that you wasn't before that. Amen. Amen. I believe when we get born again, we should talk different. We should act different. We should be excited when we come into church. We should come in with a little bit of excitement about it, with a little bit of wanting to see what's going to happen. Have that expectation, Brother Don. When we come into a church, we should be sitting there going, you know what, I got that expectation that God is going to fill me up, that he is going to excite me, Brother Don. Way down deep inside, I want to feel that down deep, Brother Tim. I want to feel him down deep in my heart. I don't know about you guys today, but I'll tell you, I come in with an expectation to be revived no matter who's going to preach, no matter who's going to sing. Praise God, I get excited. Listen, I'm going to preach here in just a minute, Zach. You remember when we went to that men's thing up here in Charleston? They talked about the wheelbarrow. Y'all know what I'm talking about. The men does anyway. Listen, you know why we can't praise when we come to church? We got that wheelbarrow. We come in here with our bunch of stuff in it. Listen, a lot of people says, I can't do anything without my stuff. Well, listen, we come into church with our stuff, our imaginary stuff, and we're pushing that wheelbarrow in here. And when Zach and them's up here singing and we're praising God, that's the reason nobody raises your hands and praises him, because your hands are still on the wheelbarrow. If you turn loose on one side, it's all going to dump out. And Lord, we don't want our stuff to dump out. We want to keep it. Amen. Let me tell you what we need to do when you come up to get your tongue saved. Bring your wheelbarrow with you. Dump it all out at the altar. Praise God. And then we can have a wonderful humdinger time. Amen. That's West Virginia there. Amen. Woo. That's all free. That was all free. Tracy, I'm sorry. I know you got a migraine. Praise God. That's okay. I'm sorry. Whew. Listen, God will transform us, church, if you let him. He will. Now listen, Saul began to preach and teach Jesus in the synagogue. And I mean immediately. My Bible didn't say that he went down the road here like me. You know, if y'all know the story of Saul, I'd have went down and got me some Big Macs or something to eat. He was 3 days praying that he wouldn't be blinded no more. It said he immediately went and he preached that Jesus is the very Christ. But listen, the Bible says when he met Jesus, he was blinded. And the Holy Ghost said, you go down to the street that's called Straight, and there you'll find a man by the name of Ananias. Now listen, church, not everybody in here could be an Apostle Paul. Not everybody in here could be a Saul, but every single one of us in here can be an Ananias. Amen. Listen to what Ananias said. I can tell you, I try to put myself in their positions when I'm reading the Word. And I sit there and I think, when God spoke to Ananias, it says, he said, here I am, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. But in Ananias' mind, he was saying, oh, Lord, I don't want to do nothing with this guy. He's coming down here. My name is probably on those those slips that he's got to arrest people, he's probably, my name is one of them. I don't want to go down. But let me tell you, Zach, what happened. Listen, when he went down, hey, God had already went before him all the way down there. And he had already told Ananias, listen. And Ananias went ahead and he did what he was supposed to do. And Saul went ahead. It was Saul then. He went ahead and went on down there. And as he was there, listen, y'all know the story. As Ananias laid his hands on him and he prayed, the scales fell from his eyes. Listen, church, I think it was more than just this physical scales. I love it, praise God, when God opens my eyes sometimes and those spiritual scales fall from my eyes. Listen, I think those scales fell from his eyes. And listen, he could see physically. But praise God, he knew at that point that there was more to life than Judaism. There was more to that. The Messiah had already come. It was Jesus Christ. And that's why he started preaching it. Brother, whoo, I'm going to get it out in a minute, I promise. Amen. But after he was doing all this and he was preaching and there was many, many converts. It was people coming to know Christ. Praise God, what a wonderful time it could have been. And they were coming to know Christ, but the Jews got angry. And they sought to kill Saul. They sought to kill him, but Saul had heard about it. Yes, he had. He had heard. And he hid himself, and the Jews laid at the gate, and they waited to kill him. Let me say this here just for a second. You're not going to stop God. No, if they would have stopped Saul, he wouldn't have stopped God. He'd have got somebody else. You might kill all the preachers, Brother Mark. They might kill all the teachers. They might close all the churches. But the gospel will continue because you cannot stop God. Now these Jews, they thought they would just kill him. They would just kill him. But his disciples took him to the city walls and they let him down in a basket. So just imagine, this is a lot bigger basket. Or smaller than what it probably was. They let him down that wall in a basket. And this was at night. And as he escaped and he continued preaching everywhere he went, and I know you know the story, I want to ask you today, who's in your basket? Who's in your basket? And we know the scripture is talking about Paul. But I've been thinking, who's in our baskets today? Who's in ours? And I've been thinking about this for a little while, and I came up with a few thoughts. Three to be exact. And each one of them is about 45 minutes, so we'll be used to that, since that's what Doug usually preaches. I'll tell you on the first thought, I'm getting ready to close, and by the third one, I will. Amen. Amen. Sorry, Doug, I know you like it. Listen, number one in the basket, number one is the church. The church. And our church is part of the church, is in the basket. Amen. Can we say amen? Listen, our church family is in there. I want to know, are you holding on to the rope? Are you holding on to the rope today? And I look across this congregation, and you know what I see? I see hurting Christians. There's people in your seats that are hurting today. I see struggling Christians. I see those who are going through trials. I see those that come through trials. And I see those that have trials ahead of them. I see ones who went through physical afflictions. Brother Mark, our pastor is going through a physical affliction right now. I can see him. He is in my basket. And as I look over his podium, I'm asking you today, when you look down in your spiritual basket, when you look down in your basket, what do you see? What do you see? Number one, I see the church. I see my church family. I see your family. I see your pain. I see your hurt. I see your situations. And I see your circumstances. I try my best to understand what you're going through. And so what do I do? What do I do as an elder in this church? My job. Listen to me, church. My job is to hold on to the rope. Listen, so many times we focus on Paul going down that wall in a basket. Who had a hold of his rope? It's more than one. You know how hard it is to lift one person, no matter how small they are. There was more than one. What I'm saying to you today as a church, don't let go of the rope. Don't let go of the rope. Because in the basket, at the end of your rope, is the church. The church. The church. Listen, the church, we're in the basket today, and we need to be uplifted in prayer. Every time that we go to prayer, the church ought to be the first thing that we bring up. It shouldn't be rub on my little genie lamp here and get what I want out of God. It should be looking at our church family, at the church. And that's what we need to look at today as we're praying. Should be the first thing that we bring out. Lord, please, down on our knees. Listen, down on our knees saying, Lord, bless our little church. Build us up physically. Not only physically, build us up spiritually, Lord. That's what we need to do. The church is in our basket today. We need to be upheld by men and women of God that take upon their heart to pray and pray and hold on to the rope. Hold on to the rope. Hold on to the rope until God comes. And let me tell you, if you've ever been in the basket, if you've ever been in a spiritual basket, and you have, I don't care who you are, how young you are, you've been in that basket. If you've ever been in that basket and you struggle, and most of you have, if you've ever been there and you're hurting, and most of you have, brothers and sisters, it is a blessing from God Almighty to know that somebody's got a hold of the rope, and somebody is praying for you. Somebody in your church family has got a hold of that rope, and they got it pulled up close tight to them. Not only that, they might have it wrapped maybe 4 or 5 times around their hand so it won't slip at all, praise God. Listen, they got a hold of the rope, and it's a blessing to know, Ben, that when you're overseas and you're fighting for your country, whatever you're doing, you're not with your family, you ought to know that somebody has got you in their basket, praise God. I see one a-crying right here. She knows what I'm talking about. I'm going to get excited and preach here in just a minute, but praise God, I'm glad that somebody had a hold of the rope for Brother Ben. Amen. We can say amen. I paused.
Amen.
Amen. Let me wipe my eyes here. Amen. I'm glad that we got a hold of the rope today. Listen, church. Have you prayed for your pastor? Doug's hurting right now. We need to pray for our pastor. And I can tell you right now, there's no other place that he would rather be. He's probably hurting right now so bad that he can't hardly see straight, but he's wishing that he was in this pulpit preaching to you guys. No doubt in my mind, we need to pray that he gets his strength back and be able to get back here before it drives him crazy. Amen. Amen. Listen, we need to hold on to the rope. Don't let go of the rope, church. And I can tell you how thankful I am that I know that there's people out there that's praying for me, and it's praying for Doug, and praying for Don, and praying for Ben, praying for the ones that's overseas, praying for my son that's away in college, and he possibly will be overseas in the next 4 or 5 years. We don't know. But I'm so glad that there's those that are praying for the ones in their basket today. Listen, when we go through trials, it's sweet, and it's serene. It's a sweet and serene feeling to know that the church is upholding you in prayer. Amen. I'm glad that you guys have got a hold of the rope today. Somebody's praying for me. I need it. Listen to me. You have to hold on to the rope. And I'm saying, what I'm saying to you today, church, is not just hold on to it. Don't let go of it. Don't let go of the rope. Hold on to the rope. I want to ask all of you here today, how many of us has spent, don't raise your hands because I know we're an honest church and there'd be a pile of you either raise or not raise on purpose. How many of us has prayed for our church and our church family 15 minutes a day, every day? Amen. You know who I'm talking about. How many have prayed for our little church to grow spiritually, physically, in every way to grow? How many of you has prayed a minute here and a minute there, 30 seconds here, 30 seconds there, 2 or 3 minutes there? Hey, listen, it adds up. 15 minutes a day. Keep praying for your church. Pray for your church family. Pray for Brother Doug. Pray for Brother Mark. He'll be going here shortly for another surgery. Y'all pray for you, all of us. Listen, pray for the leaders of our church. And I want you to pray that the Holy Spirit will come down and fill us up today. Fill us up and revive us. Listen to me. Churches are built down on your knees. They're built down on your knees, seeking God, seeking the empowerment of God. that he might come. Listen, I challenge you today to find a place in your heart, to find a minute here and there to pray. I know we have a busy schedule, but pray for our church. Pray for us to be revived. Pray for Brother Tim and Laura as they're going down in southern West Virginia and they've got their mission that they've got to go about. Pray for them that there's going to be more than 10% saved. Praise God, we preachers get excited if there's one saved. They have 200 saved and say, well, that's only 9% this time. Listen, church, we want to pray that 90% of them that comes in are saved. Amen. They've got a wonderful mission that they go about. Pray for us 15 minutes every day. Pray for God to fill our churches. And listen, church, hold on to the rope. You don't know who might be down in that basket. Hold on to the rope. I want to tell you guys here today, I love the church. Not just this church. I pray, praise God, that every church up and down Route 60, all the way up 64, everywhere around is completely packed to the brim. Every one of them are filled up and that we just get to run off because nobody can even fit in their parking lot to even come in. That's what we need to be praying for the church today. Pray for all of them to be filled. But I love my church and I love this church. I love my church people. I say praise God. And I want to be true to God, true to the church, and faithful to you. And I want to hold on to the rope. I want to hold on to the rope. I want to hold on to the rope. I got a little story I want to tell you. If it's okay. If it ain't, I'm going to anyway. You guys ever put on a metal roof? Anybody ever been up on a roof? In a hose? Right, Lisa? Amen. So we got our rope. One of my brothers that I used to work with, he's since retired. He told us a story, and I know this rope's a big mess. That's okay. They got up there and they was putting this metal roof up. It's a steep roof. This old lady, she didn't have any money, so the church got together and they started to put this roof on. They saved up their money and they started putting this metal roof. You put the sheets down here first, the lowest part, so you know everybody getting up there to do that. So when they go up to the next part, they're sliding. They're like, oh Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Nobody else wants to do this. So Brother Allen says, I'll tell you what we do. Pastor, now listen, there ain't very many preachers that push away from the dinner table very often. You know what I'm talking about. This pastor was a big feller. I'm a big feller, so I can say that. He said, Pastor, he said, you throw this rope across this house, and I want you to tie this rope around your waist. I want you to tie it on tight. And then I'm going to be at the other end of that rope, and I'm going to tie it around me. Y'all know Alan Owens, right? He started putting them nails and screws, whatever he puts in, and he puts this roof on. And as he gets done, he gets everything done, no slipping, no sliding. There's Pastor Mike Long standing over there. He's a big anchor, so he's holding on. He's holding on to the rope. They get everything done. Alan comes down. He goes, you know, preacher, I didn't slip one time. Not one single time did I slip. He said, you want to know why, preacher? He said, why? He said, because I know that you had a hold of the rope. Church, if we know somebody's got a hold of the rope, we ain't going to slip. We ain't going to slip. You know why? He felt secure. He was secure knowing that somebody, listen church, somebody had a hold of the rope. Somebody was at the other end, not just tied around them, with that rope tied on to where it was them or both. One way or the other, there was nobody falling, nobody slipping because he had a hold of the rope today. I say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm scared of heights. I wouldn't have got up there in the first place. Not that I ain't scared of the heights, it's the fall. Amen. Amen. He knew he'd done so well because he was secure. He was secure. I want to challenge all of us today, take time out of your schedule. And I know we're all busy. Take time out of your busy schedule to pray for your church leaders. To pray for your church. To pray for God to send the power down and revive each one of us. Pray for us to bring our wheelbarrows up and dump them out today. Amen. We need to pray for all the saints. And we need to know that somebody is holding on to the rope. My question to you today, who's in your basket? Who's in your basket? As we look across this pulpit, I see each one of you. I see your families. I know most of you's families, some of you's anyway. And I want each one of you to know with all of my power, I'm holding on to the rope today. Amen. I believe that our elders are holding on to the rope today. I believe our pastor is holding on to the rope. And I believe we're all holding on to the rope for our pastor. And at least I hope we are. I want to know, are you holding on to the rope? And I think sometimes we get in a habit of going to church. And we might say it's always been there. It'll be there. It's always there. You know, it's okay. We might forget to pray. And we just come in nonchalant and just say, I'm going to come on into church. No expectation of anything. Just come and listen. Everybody, like Brother Mark said, you get your phones out and you have to go to Facebook for 2 or 3 minutes while the preacher's preaching. Shame on you if you do that. If you can't wait for a few minutes to play Candy Crush till you get out in the parking lot, that's okay. Listen, do it in the parking lot. Come in here with an expectation of being revived today. Listen, it's the church. It's the church. We need to come in a mind of prayer and an attitude of prayer, holding up one another and holding on to the rope. Who's in your basket? If we look in our baskets today, number one is our church family, as we said. And listen, we need each other. And I was thinking this week how much we need each other and how much Brother Doug needs our prayers and how I need the prayers of all of you guys today and how much I love those prayers as they go up. Jesus said this in John chapter 15 and verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Amen. Let me ask you today, do you pray for your church? Do you pray for your church family? Do you love your church family? You might be saying, preacher, there's some people in here that I don't just love. I don't even like them. Well, here's what I'm telling you to do. I'm telling you to pray for those ones that you don't like. And you're probably sitting back there going, I'll pray. I'll pray that God will change them. Well, listen. You pray that God will change you today. He will change your heart to the point that you might go down and give him a hug and say, Brother Don, I love you. I love you, Brother Don. Amen. You might be going over to Brother Tim and shake his hand and say, I love you, Tim. The whole time Tim's over going, And listen, before long, Tim knows that I'm going to hug his neck. Amen. Before long, we're going to show him that we love him. And we love and we love and we love. Listen, it's his commandment that we love one another. Do something good for him. Go down to Doug's house and mow his grass. Has anybody thought about doing that? Come down to my house if you want to mow somebody's grass. Have you thought about that? Amen. Listen, we got to do deeds for people. Not just show them and hug them and say we love them and walk out the door and never speak to them again. Don't unfriend them on Facebook. I know we're on that more than we are anything else. Don't unfriend them. Be their friend. Show them you love them. Show them the love of Christ in everything you do. I know I'm funny. I get a lot of people laughing at me. I'm funny sometimes. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Number two. Do you guys know who else is in the basket? Number two, my community is in my basket. Listen to me here, brothers and sisters. No matter what you might think, we need to be revived. The church needs to be revived. Listen, we need to get this progressive stuff out of the churches today, get back on the right track, and listen, we need to show a love of Christ wherever we go. We need to be revived today. We need to be revived. Listen, Mason County, Putnam County, Cabell County, the state of West Virginia needs to be revived. No matter where we go, no matter who we are, who we see, who we run into, we need to show them who's living inside of us. Listen, I wonder how often we pray for our community. Have we taken our community to the Lord in our prayers today? Right here in Hurricane, you got a mayor. Praise God, he says yes for us to do a live nativity. Have you prayed for your community leaders? I don't even know him, never met him before. I just say praise God that we got somebody here that's willing to do that. Say, yes, we can do that. Have we taken our community to the Lord? Listen, this place has been here for years. Everybody says, yeah, it's been here for years. People's come and went. Mom moved away. They've either moved or died. Many, many people come and lived in this area. They lived in this community for years and years, probably thousands. Have you been praying for the ones that's here right now? Have you been praying for your community? Listen, we have a responsibility, church, a responsibility, and it's this. Don't let go of the rope. That's our responsibility as the church. Don't let go of the rope. Don't let our community slip through our fingers and go off to hell. Listen, I don't have my finger turned upside down saying you're going to hell. I'm not doing that. I'm saying they're slipping off. And listen, it's the church that's letting them do it. We're sitting back and just watching people go. I stopped and asked, praise God, he's one of my best friends. He's my neighbor. I stopped and asked him this morning if he'd go to church with me. He said, I got too much work to do. I said, one of these days you're going to go to church with me. He said, I might. But every time we see him out, we ask him to come to church. And usually if I ask him, he'll go, was that Tracy hollering for you? But listen, he has to know that I love him enough to even ask him. Are we asking our neighbors to come to church with us? Are we going out in the community sharing Jesus Christ wherever we go? While we sit here in our pews of do nothing, and we sit here and we think that everything's okay. And listen, church, Putnam County is riddled with drugs. The state of West Virginia is riddled with drugs. I'm from Boone County. I know all of you can tell how I talk, but I'm telling you, it's riddled with drugs today. And the church comes in, and we come in and we sit down and we say our little amens and we go, oh, thank you, Jesus. And we walk out and we turn our back to the ones out there in the streets. We turn our back to the ones that's addicted to drugs. How come we're not out there on some type of a mission? Don't let go of the rope, church. They're in our community. God died for those too. Jesus, God in the flesh, Jesus died for those. Jesus died for those too. It's our responsibility. Our responsibility. Don't let go of the rope. Don't let go of the rope. Listen. A lot of times we don't pray. A lot of times we won't. A lot of times we'll turn loose of the rope. Because it's all about me. It's all about us. We need to pray for our community today. Got a little quiet there, Mark. Got a little quiet. That's okay. I'm preaching way better than they're amening, right? Amen. What we need to do is this. Realize what our role is. We need to figure out that I am not the driver. I'm not driving this bus. I am not the pitcher. I'm just a bench warmer. And that's what a lot of us are, bench warmers. But let me talk for a minute. Y'all know Tank, right? I love my son. I don't know if y'all know that. I love my son. My son, in Little League, all through baseball, he was a catcher. Because nobody else wanted to do it, he caught. He's a good catcher. He got tall fast. His legs started hurting. He said, Dad, I don't know what I'm going to do. My legs hurt so bad, I don't even know if I can even play ball anymore. Tell the coach you want to play the outfield. He said, I don't want to play the outfield. Nobody wants to play the outfield. Ha. I'm getting close now. I'm going to tie this in. I said, tell the coach you want to play right field. Well, nobody wants to play right field, Brother Don. You know what I'm talking about. So Tank played right field. Freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, senior year. Sometimes he would play other positions, but mostly played right field. At the end of his senior season, come out in the newspaper, All-State, outfielder, Tank Smith. You know why? You know why? He did something that nobody else wants to do. Nobody wanted to do it, and he'd give his all, Brother Don. He'd give everything. And if you're on the bench, praise God, you pray while you're on that bench. You pray, thank God that I'm a bench warmer today. Thank God that I'm just on a team. And if you ain't part of the team, it's time to come up and sign up for it today. Amen. Okay. So here we have our church. And we have our community in our basket. Now I want to tell you this. Number three, we have our own personal families. Our children is in our basket. Amen, Lisa. Lisa's son is in Colorado. Her son is in her basket. Listen, I've lost sleep over my family. I don't know about you. I've prayed for my family, and I love my children. Let me tell you this, all of my married life, I've prayed, and Tracy's prayed. And when our babies were born, we went to their bedside and we prayed and we said, Lord, these are my babies, but I give my babies to you, Lord. They're yours to do with what you want. I'm going to do my best to raise them the best that I can. I'm going to raise them to love you and to honor you and to teach them all about you. I think that we've done a pretty good job. You look sitting there beside mommy. Tank went to church for 12 hours last Sunday. Now, there's probably more to that than just listen to preaching because he got 3 free meals out of it. But he was there for about 12 hours and he didn't have to be on campus at school. And yes, amen. Yes, amen. We prayed, God, these are your babies. I want you to do with them whatever you see fit. Raise them, Lord, we're going to raise them the best we can, but we want to raise them to honor you, to glorify you in everything that we do. And let me tell you, it don't end there, church. They're in my basket. And I ain't letting go of the rope. Not a day goes by that I don't call on the name of God. No matter how old they get, no matter what kind of choices they make, I'll tell you and I'll tell them that I ain't letting go of the rope. And my challenge to you today, y'all probably wondering why I got this big old rope out here. My challenge to you today is this. Don't let go of the rope. Don't let go of the rope. Don't let go of the rope, Brother Don. Don't let go of this rope. Don't let go of the rope. Come on back to here. Don't let go of the rope. Don't let go of this rope. Don't let go of the rope. That's about as far as we can go. Right here. Come on up through here, brother. There you go. Hold on to that rope. Listen here, sister. Hold on to the rope. Listen. Don't. No matter how many times I'm going to trip over this basket, don't turn loose of the rope. Now listen, you're sitting back here, you're saying, well, Brother John, that's easy for you to say. Both of your kids go to church. Both of them love the Lord. Both of them been saved and baptized. Yeah? Praise God, but your kids is in my basket too. Your kids is in there too. And listen, I'm going to challenge this young man right here. If something would happen to John Smith, I want you to take a double wrap. If something would happen to Tracy, I want you to take another wrap. And I want you to hold on to the rope for my family. I love you, brother. Listen, church, every one of us has got a hold of the rope. Every single one of us has got a role to do, whether you're on the bench or you're in the field. We need to hold on to the rope today. That's my sermon. You got a song, brother?